Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. We have a live audience today. Please acknowledge the fact that you're alive. Woo! Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling, and I'm joined by...
Jennifer Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? We're live in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, well, Dallas people do not acknowledge Fort Worth. We should make that plain. It's only if you live in Fort Worth, someone says, where do you live? I live in Dallas-Fort Worth. If you live in Dallas, they say, where do you live? I live in Dallas. Correct? The map stops at the airport.
We want to include everyone.
Yeah, we're very inclusive here. So we're going to include Waco and Abilene to make the people who live in the woods feel good. Some questions that you in the audience have asked today, and Doug, our voice of God, will be asking these questions. We have never seen these questions before. They have been hermetically sealed and kept in a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall's doorstep since noon today. No one has seen these questions, but we will reveal the answers. Doug, go.
First up, how do you use humor if you are not funny?
Well, that sucks. Yeah, you should study humor.
Yeah, you're in deep shit. But what you need to do is study humor in a way that allows you to be funny, not a joke teller. So go to the comedy club that's in your neighborhood. Watch funny shows on television, like the old versions of The Honeymooners, which is really funny, and clean. Or you can be a little risque and watch like Family Guy, which is funny, Seinfeld, which is funny, and just watch them for the humor. Study how they convey their mirth. And then go back to your home that you grew up in and think about yourself in each one of the rooms in your home, and I guarantee you, funny stories will emerge.
I think that most people don't wake up thinking, I'm going to study humor today, unless you want to be a comedian or like have a profession where you are funny. But if you want to be good at anything, you're going to study it. So like Jeffrey said, just go to a comedy club, but sit there and take notes to yourself on why that joke was funny, what made it funny, and then figure out how you can use that in your interactions to be more funny.
Let me give you why it's important. Have you ever been to a comedy club and you laugh so hard that your drink came out of your nose? And then the guy starts talking again. He goes, shh, because you're waiting to hear what's next funny. At the end of humor is the height of listening. At the end of humor is the height of listening. Next question, please, senor.
All right, this next question could be interpreted as a joke. At It's Me, Big E asks, what is the Eagles' current record? Go Pats.
Hold on. I brought the record with me. Let me bring it out. Right there is where the record is. We are 3-3, I think. I don't know. We lost to the Carolina Panthers this week. It was a pathetic game. But we will emerge. We'll be fine. We have a great team. We have a great quarterback. We have great receivers, running backs almost, and a great defense that can kind of play. So we're okay. Will we beat the Patriots again if we play them? Yes, we will. Because Tom Brady is over.
It's me, Big E. It just said it's 3-4, just for the record.
Oh, 3-4. Thank you very kindly.
He is keeping track.
Bastard. Yeah. Anyway, Doug, what's next?
All right. Next up, how do you share testimonials when in a distribution sales market and each distributor thinks of each other as their enemy?
You go all the way to the end user and you get a testimonial from them about the product. Distributors hate each other and they, like idiots, they lower their prices to try to be the distributor of choice instead of simply being the service provider of choice. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
Jenny?
If their customer is talking about how they've helped them produce more, profit more, win more through your product, then other distributors are going to want to be able to do that too.
Yeah. If you get testimonials for your distributor, they're going to love you. Totally love you.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, what did you do before this? Meaning before both of you started sharing your sales wisdom.
I led a 30-person team across the nation selling educational sales, managed a massive book of business for renewals, $30 million as well for an educational software company, and decided that I wanted to impact people on a larger scale and not just the people in my division at my company.
And then what?
I quit, and which was scary, by the way, really scary.
How many of you have ever quit a job and had nothing? Exactly. You quit because you were ultimately pissed, correct? Your boss was a jackass. How many of you have ever had a jackass boss? How many of you are bosses? Ooh.
So I quit and took another job because as COO of a company because I was being a chicken and was too scared to go out on my own. And within 2.5 months, literally to the day, I realized, well, what was I doing? Like, I needed to start this business and help other people make more sales and be more successful. And I quit again and just launched this. And that was 5 years ago.
So I grew up in a manufacturing family. My father was a kitchen cabinet countertop manufacturer. And I ran that business for a period of time when I was very young. And then I started my own business. I traveled to Europe for 1 year, just went from place to place. And then came home and started, owned an apartment house, started a leisure furniture company, made beanbag chairs, made imprinted sportswear products, t-shirts, but we manufactured them, not bought them and resold them, and made all my sales calls in New York City. New York City is the epicenter of the sales empire. And if you're looking to become great at sales, you can do it a hell of a lot faster in New York because everything is impossible. Here, everything is possible, and you can meet people for lunch at Dickie's, or Hard Eight if you're smart, or meet you if you're smarter.
There's something about making a sales call and trying to get that taxi to get there in New York City and have someone upstream you to run in front of you to get the cab before you do to get the taxi, and they don't care that you have a sales call, and to you it's really important, and just the hustle of it all is amazing.
Rule of sales, no one will buy from you because you have a quota. Well, my boss said I need to make a sale. He's got his foot up my ass.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
So wait a minute. You made and sold beanbag chairs.
Yep.
What is the key to selling a beanbag chair?
I would take the large furry beanbag chair over my shoulder, walk into a major department store, push my way to the buyer's office, and walk in, and the guy would say, how'd you get here? And I would say, freight elevator. And I would say, have you ever sat in a beanbag chair before? And the guy would say, well, no. I said, well, sit in this one. Pretty comfortable, isn't it? Yeah. Here's an order form, just fill it out. And that was my close.
I thought you were going to say, don't spill the beans.
Aha. Yeah, I didn't. You can give yourself a drum on that one.
I did.
He did.
Don't spill the beans. Oh, there you go.
That means it's time for the lightning round of questions.
Ooh.
And we've got a special guest, right?
We do have a special guest. How many of you are fans of Jim Rohn? We have the founder of Jim Rohn International with us today. His name is Kyle Wilson. He's been a friend of mine for 25 years or more. And he is one of the fathers of personal development in this country and certainly has helped more people like Jim Rohn become known and valued. Kyle is, a promoter is a bad word, but he has helped people get to the next level. People that are household names like Brian Tracy or Jim Rohn, obviously, for example, or Mark Victor Hansen or Les Brown, people that you know your own name, and he helps them. That's his main job, helps them. Darren Hardy, for example. Please help me welcome the great Kyle Wilson.
Here. So okay, for those of you who listen to our show or don't, every week we have a guest or two, and we try to get as much information as we can from them to give you another perspective to help you.
We milk them.
We do.
So and we pay them nothing.
We're glad you're here,
Isn't that
Kyle.
Cool?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, your check is in the mail.
What a nice introduction. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
I first met Jeffrey in 1994. I said, this is the best sales trainer I've ever heard. And we've done so much together over the years. And
yep. Fun.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle lives in Dallas, so he had to drive all the way over here.
South Lake.
In traffic.
I live in DFW. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, cool.
So normally we have like 30 minutes to an hour with our guests, but today it's short and we're going to do a lightning round
Perfect.
Of questions. So Kyle, the first question is, how did working with and for Jim Rohn impact your life?
Yeah, so I think first of all, Jim introduced me to personal development. You know, I became a student. I started reading the books, read Think and Grow Rich. Read The Richest Man in Babylon. Started keeping a journal. How many people keep a journal? Like that first hour every morning writing down notes. So I think personal development is my mic where it should be.
You're good.
You know, also, after hearing Jim, I realized success is predictable. You know, Jim talked, he used the farming analogy a lot. You have to plant seeds. When you plant a seed, you're going to get a return. Now, it's going to take a while. You don't plant today and eat tomorrow, right? So it's that farming mentality. And I think my favorite Jim Rohnism, he said, if you want to be successful, learn to bring value to the marketplace. It's what you've been talking about for both days. He said, if you want to be wealthy, learn to be valuable to valuable people. And so I really took that on. I'm like, how do I bring value? Not how do I sell, how do I bring value? And of course, lifestyle. And you guys talking about Paris and, you know.
Of course. You have to have a lifestyle.
We love Paris.
So lifestyle is a big part of it, right? Family, lifestyle. So, yeah.
So if you want to be successful, are there specific seeds you need to be planting right now? Are there specific activities that he says everyone should be doing?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's in yourself. Like I love, like yesterday I took 15 pages of notes, right?
Oh.
And I've heard Jeffrey so many times and. All his programs, but it was such good stuff. And most of it was personal development. Most of it was what you become in the process. So I think that's number one, you have to start working on yourself. And then number two, you have to become valuable. And number three, you have to get the skills. And again, you've written so many books, right? And in your mm-hmm. program, you talk all the different skills. Like in 1994, when I met Jeffrey, he had been doing a weekly article in the business journals for 50 business journals around the country. You've been doing this for so long, mm-hmm. and yet 24 years later, you're still creating content.
Correct.
I was 11.
I was 12, but...
But who's counting?
Yeah.
The challenge that anybody has in personal development is to continue to challenge yourself. And you do it on an everyday basis. So you'll see today I've got my goals on my bathroom mirror. I tell people to do it because I do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
he does.
I should tell you one story. We Kyle promoted Jim Rohn to a point where... Kyle promoted Jim Rohn to a point where 4,000 or 5,000 people would show up for a weekend. And my seat partner was Darren Hardy, and we would sit in the front row, thigh to thigh, take notes for two whole days, and marvel at this guy's intellect. Fast forward a few years, and I'm at a hotel here in Dallas, and I walk in the hotel to do my seminar, and I see a sign that says, appearing today, Jim Rohn. And I thought, wow, I'll go. Because I had the good fortune of getting to know Jim personally, and I thought, well, I'll just go see what's going on. I go in the room, and there's under 50 people in the room.
And it wasn't my event. Let's be clear on that.
Under 50 people. So I wait till he's done.
It was an Herbalife event.
Yeah, it was Herbalife.
Private, yeah.
And I said, Jim, how do you get up for a speech when you're used to talking to 5,000 people and now there's 50 people? And he said, Jeffrey, you never know who's in the audience. so you always do your best. He said, one day I gave a seminar to 19 people, and one of them was Anthony Robbins. Wow. So do your best. Next question.
Wait,
we have more questions for Kyle?
Yeah. Oh. Well, we have time for one more question. Okay, does anyone in the audience want to ask Kyle a question?
Ooh. While this plane is going overhead? It's building is soundproof except for airplanes.
All right, I have a question for Kyle.
Okay, cool.
You guys are off the hook. So, Kyle, You built Jim Rohn's business. You built many people who we all know today. You built their businesses to the point that if you had not been involved, it's likely they might not be known. How did you take what they had and go from, Jim had how many people on his email list when you joined?
Well, it was way before email list. He had no list, right?
So, no list. Yeah. So how did you go from zero to woo?
Yeah, so Jim was the great speaker philosopher, but he wasn't a marketer. And so that's why it was a great marriage. I was a marketer. And so for me, I had this concept called the wheel. And in 1993, when I started Jim Rohn International, I was a seminar promoter before that, filling up rooms, and I would hire Jim. And this is something I challenge you guys all to do. Draw a circle, and then the hub is you, and then each spoke is a product or service. And the goal is you get people on the wheel, and then you take them around. And my big question was, how do I get more people on the wheel? And so it's always about building an audience, right? And then once you build an audience, you can talk to the audience. You bring value. You give good stuff. How many people are here today because you're on Jeffrey Sells Caffeine list, right? And so he talks to you, he brings value, and occasionally he says, hey, I'm gonna be in Dallas. Who wants to show up? And so that's the model we created. And then based on Jim's secret sauce of being such a wordsmith, like Jim could take complicated stuff and make it simple, right?
Yep.
And people loved him, so he had advocates. So I created this little quote book. Who's seen the Jim Rohn Treasury of Quotes book, right? Okay, to and from, moved 6 million of them. It's incredible. And it was through advocates. It was a viral marketing tool. So that's the other thing. You have to find out what your secret sauce is and then find out a way to get people to go share your message. And again, I was one of the first ones to the internet, but Jeffrey, you were too. I mean, we were two of the fastest there. I built a 1 million+ list. You built this huge newsletter at the time, and you just went from doing your business journal and continued doing that, but then got online very quickly.
You have to have an online presence to be able to build your validity. If someone Googles your name, whatever pops up, literally, that's your fate. And you have to be able to live with that one way or the other.
Jeffrey, again, I have worked with a lot of people. I would say you're probably the most innovative of any speaker I've ever talked to, worked with, because from 94 you were innovating, today you're innovating, right? And so let's give him a hand for that. I mean, it's true.
Thank you very kindly.
All right, Kyle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to continue answering everyone's questions. It was a pleasure
having you on our lightning round.
Kyle Wilson, please, hand.
Thank you.
All right, Doug, what's next?
Kyle, by the way, is available for weddings and bar mitzvahs. Kyle Wilson is a great guy, and his secret to greatness is he's a giver. And that is a wonderful secret to have, because it becomes obvious over time. I've had nothing but positive interactions with Kyle Wilson for 25 years. How many of you can say that about somebody that just continues to help?
So that's a testimonial.
Yep.
We'll get you that clipped, Kyle.
Yeah, we'll get you that clip, Kyle.
All right, Doug.
All right, the next question is about email responses. How much time and care should I devote to email responses? And how many email responses should I send before I give up?
Email responses or follow-ups? Like, if you're responding to someone, that means they've emailed you. So you wouldn't give up. Like, just respond, obviously. And respond timely. People don't want answers tomorrow. If they're emailing you now, they want an answer right now.
The longer you wait, the longer you can expect to wait.
Yeah. If that question, though, is about follow-up, keep following up. And why don't you have their cell phone number? Why are you relying on email? Like, you're in the meeting with them, get their number, text them a picture with you saying, thanks for meeting with me, this was great. Have the next meeting scheduled so that you're not relying on email to create the follow-up. That follow-up should already be booked.
I've taken at least a dozen selfies with people here today. You know who you are. I expect to see them on Instagram and a tag, at Jeffrey Gittimer. You don't do that? Never take a selfie with me again as long as you want.
When we were in Germany, we were meeting with a German publisher to get our books published in German. And we were sitting with him, and his name's Harry, and he said, can I have your card? I said, let me do you one better. And I took a picture, and I said, what's your text? I'm going to text this to you with a note. He was like, okay, guess what? We're getting the contract this week.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to form the relationship well enough so that you feel comfortable taking a picture with them and getting their sell.
As you can tell, Jen is very assertive. And she uses her assertiveness to win people and then win business. She wins the person first and then wins the business. And that's part of the secret sauce that Kyle was talking about. And by the way, for those of you not from Dallas, when Kyle says will, he actually means wheel. Just wanted to be an interpreter there for just a second. Yeah,
yeah, that exactly. Helped me from New York. Okay, Doug.
All right, this next one says, I have a cold prospect. What tips and tricks do you guys have to successfully get your prospects to come back online and move that sales cycle along?
Dude, what are you asking me that for? Is this like your first day in sales? There has to be a value reason for them to connect with you. There has to be an emotional reason for them to connect with you. And you can tell if you LinkedIn with somebody and they message you and you message them back and you don't hear back from them, that's an answer. That's a report card. Like, hey, I left a shitty message. Like, hey, I wasn't perceived as a value provider. Hey, I was perceived as a taker. And that's the deal. There's a guy in the audience named Eric. Stand up, Eric.
It's me, Big E.
Yeah. We've been following each other for some reason on Instagram for years. And he posts pictures of pizzas. Why does he do that? Because he's in the pizza food supply business. And he extols his customers by saying, hey, look at John's Pizza or Anthony's Pizza. It's a cool pizza. And what happens is Anthony gets that and goes, holy shit, Eric is building my business. I better keep giving him mine. Now, what does it cost Eric to put that picture up online? Now, he probably gets Anthony to give him the pizza. Yeah, exactly. Because Eric's a cheap bastard. But the bottom line is he's building his business loyalty by extolling the virtues of his customers. That's an example that you can use to take to the bank and will create interaction. Because I guarantee you, when Eric emails his customers or texts his customers or sends a LinkedIn message to his customers, they don't know if he's buying or selling. And they'll get back to him right away. Right away. Fair enough to say? Yeah.
And if you're reaching out cold and you're just doing the same thing over and over again every day and you know your rate, like I get a 20% response rate with this message, well, a lot of people just keep reaching out and keep reaching out and know how, like, well, if I reach out to 100 more people, I'm going to have this better of a chance. What we do and what Zach does, and he's really good at this, is he actually analyzes the messages he's sending. So for 3 days, he'll send the same message to a couple hundred people. He'll know the response rate, and then he'll tweak it. And he'll come to me and say, Jen, I changed these three words, and I'm giving them this now instead of that, and look how much my response rate went up. And so that's what you need to be doing on a continuous basis, is really analyzing yourself and analyzing your messages, and it may be time to update your message.
Keep in mind, if you have a 20% open rate, you're pissing off 80% of your customers. No one ever says that. They don't start, what's your open rate? No, what's your piss-off rate? Just a thought.
All right, we have time for one last question.
Okay, make it a good one, Doug.
This is a fun question, a unique question, a question we've never had before. We get a lot of questions about closing the deal. This will be a fun one to hear both sides of this. How did this one's to Jeffrey, but I want to hear both sides. How did you close the deal with Jen? It goes on. She is nice looking. You, and not so much.
She.
Yeah, how did you do it?
She was begging me from the very beginning. Oh, that's not the right answer. Wait. If you have personality and you converse with somebody and you realize that you click both emotionally and intellectually, then you go to the next thing. And I think that's how we did it, emotionally and intellectually. She's emotional and I'm intellectual, and it was a very...
So I thought we were going to dinner, and we pulled into this garage, and like it's normal in New York to pull into a garage, and then we start going up in an elevator. I'm like, where are we? And it was his house. And I am sitting, there's two couches that face each other, and I am sitting on the furthest edge away from the opposite side of the couch that he's sitting on. And we just chatted for 3 hours. It felt like, I mean...
4 hours.
No, we just connected. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, but I think that it's important for you to understand that it's not without its issues. She's from New York. Well, North Jersey. I'm from South Jersey. There's conflict in the Jersey Turnpike.
So I think what he's saying is there's lots of dynamics we deal with, but it's all good.
Yeah, it's totally all good. And, you know, she won't eat at Dickie's. Like, seriously?
I will, but it's just, I don't want to go there every day.
Oh. All right, we're leaving now.
All right, thank you guys for joining our Sell or Die Live. We hope you'll join us on our podcast tomorrow.
Become who's a diehard, subscribe.
We don't know. Doug, who's coming up?
Well, we've got Sell or Die Live coming up, so this one will air on next Wednesday. So if you subscribe to the podcast, check it out next Wednesday. You can hear it all again.
We have all kinds of guests, all kinds of things.
If you missed the episodes this week, on Friday, we always air best of, so that'll give you a quick catch-up.
SellorDiePodcast.com has all the information.
There you go.
Cool. And my name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm challenging you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Woo!
Okay, we're striking the chairs. I love striking things.